Well, as we started worship this morning, my heart was just still breaking for our siblings in Hawaii as they are trying to put lives back after that devastation. And then you turn on the news and you hear of Hurricane Hillary hitting our West Coast. And I just know folks in that area. I know personally some friends. It's a panicked, fearful time. I mean, the news can just be downright tragic and disturbing, and oftentimes my soul does weep. I wonder sometimes, is God weeping as well? Now, thank goodness we've had the Iowa State Fair, or the start of another school year, for local newscasters to talk about in order to distract us away a bit from the really awful, horrible stuff. But I don't know about you, sometimes on mornings, I just want to stay in bed. I just want to pull up the covers over my head, go back to sleep. I want to procrastinate. I want not to try to face the hard and stressful things. Do you know, just leaving one's house can be stressful for some people. I have two friends, one on each coast, going through right now, one of those really difficult periods that I assume come to each one of us, when they're just hit with a whole string of sad news and they have to make difficult decisions. If one hard thing happens, we think we might be able to handle it, but then when another hard thing starts to pile up, we can be paralyzed. And that's kind of where my two friends are. And both of them said to me on Friday, in their own words, "I just want to pull up the covers and go to sleep." Despair has taken hold of them. They just don't want to do certain things any longer. They don't even want to reach out or go to church. So let's confess, there are some days we just don't want to face and do something. It's hard to hear the news. Yet, we must wake up. It's a new day. Today's gospel lesson is kind of a wake-up call for Jesus and for all of us. It is disturbing, and yet I think it's very relevant. Today we have a story mostly about Jesus. Now let's remember that we are in Matthew's gospel. And Matthew tries to depict Jesus as the new Moses. There are five major teaching blocks in this gospel that echo the five books of Moses in the Torah. Today's story is part of a larger teaching section that begins with the news of the death of John the Baptist. This news of John's gruesome death sends Jesus longing for some retreat time. But he can't seem to escape the crowds. And he does some healing and teaching, and he feeds the multitudes, even when he jumps in a boat to go to the other side of the lake. When the crowds leave, Jesus sends his disciples on ahead and then walks on water to save them in the midst of a storm. Then, when Jesus lands on shore, a group of Pharisees come to question him on the whole matter of purity and how does a person live in right relationship with God. And then Jesus leaves Jewish territory, and there he encounters a woman. Following this story, Jesus will move on once more and will once again feed a crowd from very few resources, just in case we didn't get it the first time. After sharing all of this, let me say this story today is a story about Jesus' learning something, and we might learn right alongside him. Now, the picture we get of Jesus today from this gospel story is a little bit surprising and startling. Jesus' insensitivity to a Canaanite woman is cold-hearted. Where is the good news in this passage? It finds Jesus acting a bit strange to us. It's like Jesus isn't himself. And just like everyone who has ever behaved badly, Jesus has an excuse. Jesus is tired. Jesus is stressed out. Jesus is a long way from home. Now, if we've been coming to worship for a few years, we may have already heard, and we may think we know this story. Jesus is out walking with his disciples along the Mediterranean Sea in the regions of Tyre and Sidon in the northwest part of Galilee. Jesus is now in what we would say a foreign land. He's in Gentile territory. He's tired, and he just wants some rest. But then a Canaanite woman, an outsider, a foreigner, a heathen, comes to Jesus with a cry for help. "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My little girl is sick. She's tormented by demons. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Please, have mercy." Now, just imagine you're away from home in some international city, and a woman comes up to you on the street. And suppose she has heard about you. Perhaps she's heard that you're a person of the church. She maybe has heard that you carry that name Christian. She's heard that, you ought to have compassion. And she comes up to you with a cry for help. "My little girl is sick. Will you help me? Please have mercy." What do you do? Would you ignore her plea for assistance? Would you turn your back and try to get off as soon as you can, walking the other way? Would you act as if you didn't really see her? That's exactly what Jesus did. At this point in the story, this woman was to Jesus an outsider. Any outsiders here or know what it's like to be on the outside? So Jesus sends her away. Jesus doesn't speak to her. It seems as if to Jesus she's a nobody. But that's not the end of the story. The disciples, those dear disciples, those good, kind-hearted guys who have left everything to follow Jesus, they have to get their 2 cents in too. "Jesus, send that foreign woman away. She's even shouting after us. We're annoyed. Jesus, send her away." Now, at this point, I thought for sure Jesus would have a change of heart. I thought for sure that Jesus would see the cold-heartedness that he's had towards this woman and the ugly behavior of his disciples. I thought Jesus might say to them the same thing he had said when they wanted Jesus to send the children away. "Hey, you disciples, just quiet down. Let that woman come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven." But instead, Jesus says no such thing. And what Jesus did next was really like pouring salt into an open wound. Jesus says to the woman, "Lady, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It's like he said, "Woman, hey woman, you're not my problem. You're not my concern." That's a horrible scene. Gosh, it's harsh. It's hard to hear Jesus say these words. Did Jesus' mission as the Christ of God exclude foreigners, outsiders? Did his healing heart exclude everyone other than his own people? Did his ministry exclude everyone except the Jews? At this point in the story, his response could not have been any clearer. Outsiders were not a part of his work as the Messiah. Now, Now, I know there are some folks who might look at this story and think Jesus is onto some good thinking. He's realizing that sometimes a person has to say no, has to make some hard choices when resources are limited, realizing you cannot be everything to everyone. We all know that we have only so much time, only so much money in the bank. So we have to choose where we will give our attention today and what we're going to ignore. Who's worthy of a check? Who needs to go elsewhere to get funding? Doesn't charity begin at home? You cannot give your time and money to every panhandler you meet. Life is full of hard choices. Isn't Jesus here just doing what we all have to do most every day? And yes, it's hard. It's hard to live that way. And it's exhausting. It puts us under a terrible strain, always trying to figure it out how we are to carve space on our calendars, how we're to give of our resources, deciding when to say yes and when to say no. It's difficult because deep down inside of us, we want to respond to the needs of the world, but we know we can't. And so, we harden our hearts. We stay busy and distracted. We stay aloof. We stare straight ahead. I had a friend teach me what to do when I came upon a beggar, and I had no money to offer. My friend said to look the person in the eyes, human to human, and to say, "I'm sorry, I don't have anything to offer you today." That's the decent thing to do, to look them in the eyes, human to human. But Jesus doesn't even do that. Yet the woman just would not stop. She will not let Jesus go. She persists. She saw something in Jesus. After all, she did call him Lord, Son of David. She knew something about him that he had yet to see and truly understand about himself. And so she doubles down. She falls on her knees before him. She gets right in his way. She puts her whole self on the line so that he couldn't ignore her. He'll need to kick her aside or give her what she wants. And she begs one more time, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus does the unthinkable. He responded to the woman with what might be one of the most cruelest statements in the entire Bible. To the woman who's asking for mercy, Jesus says, "It's not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." He kicks her aside verbally. He calls her a dog. A dog. Jesus calls her a dog. That's a terrible insult. Did he honestly believe the children of Israel were the only ones worthy of his ministry of healing? I don't know about you, but if I'd been that woman, I would have turned my back on that hard-hearted man. I would have grabbed my daughter, and I would have headed home. But that's not what she did. She persisted. She didn't give up. And what she did next was so bold and daring that it can just take your breath away. She looked Jesus right in the eye, and she rebuked Jesus. She called him on the carpet. "Yes, Lord, yes, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from their master's table." Whoa, that took guts. That took guts to speak up and out like that. It took courage to challenge Jesus. By speaking clearly and directly to Jesus as she did, this Canaanite woman pointed out a truth to him that he had yet to see himself. That God's love is so bountiful, so abundant, plenty for all. There is enough to feed everyone in God's household, no matter their nationality, no matter their gender, no matter their race, no matter their culture, no matter their status in any human terms. God love included even her, an outsider. She reminded Jesus that God's not fair. God's not fair at all, not even a little, not one bit. God is not fair and does not have to be. God's grace and love are limitless. They're not like some natural resource that we have to hoard or preserve. And God gives those gifts abundantly to everyone, even those who are not like us, who do not deserve it, who may never lift a finger in response or offer a word of thanks. God doesn't care. God loves them anyway. It's not fair. Life is not fair. But that is why we have the communion at the center of our worship visuals. Here, no one has to settle for scraps. Here there is no scarcity. The more we give away, the more we have left over. The bread multiplies. The cup never runs dry. When we meet at this table, no one is a stranger. No one is shut out. No one will go away hungry, for all will be fed and healed and made whole. Now, what happens next in the gospel story is astounding. Prior to his meeting with this Canaanite woman, Jesus' ministry of teaching, preaching, healing was definitely to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That was his mission. I wonder if it was possible that Jesus got so caught up in his mission to Israel that he could not hear the cries of any outsider until this courageous, persistent woman got in his face. Only three times in the Gospel of Matthew does Jesus minister to outsiders. Yet, following the resurrection, Jesus commissioned his followers to preach to all the nations. So, it is possible that Jesus was awakened by this outsider. Did he come to a new understanding of what it meant for him to be the Christ? It seems so. Jesus' encounter with this woman turned out to be a critical turning point for him. He was so moved by the truth of her words and by her tenacity and understanding of who he was as Lord, as the Son of David, that Jesus declared, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be done to you as you wish." And her daughter was instantly healed. What a powerful story. Jesus' eyes were opened by an outsider, a Gentile woman. I've often said that every church ought to have a statue of the Canaanite woman right in their building. When I was a child, I thought Jesus knew from the time that he was a boy everything he needed to know about being the Christ. But this story tells me it's not so. This story tells me that even as an adult, Jesus was still growing himself as the Christ of God. And the teacher of this particular lesson was an outsider. Usually we think of Jesus as the teacher. But in this gospel lesson, the roles are reversed. And Jesus is the student. So what about us? What about us? If we allow her, will this Canaanite woman become our teacher as well? I hope our answer will be yes. because this woman represents countless unknown names and faces, men and women, boys, girls, all persons who are on the outside of the circle, on the outside of the comfort zone. Her plea for mercy represents the cries for mercy from all the outsiders all around the world, crying even for a crumb of the blessings we have to share. The lonely old woman or man who sits at home day after day, waiting for a phone call or for a visitor to stop by. The depressed young people who cry out through their anger or crazy behavior. People addicted on drugs and alcohol. The anger and violence of men and women in our nation's streets. The anger and violence of entire nations. Poor people crying out for justice and freedom and equity from a world that would rather use them and shut them out. Siblings in Christ, we are followers of Christ. We place our faith in Jesus. We carry his name. But the needs of the world are so great. How do we answer the cries for help? Do we crawl back in bed and put the covers over our heads? Do we pretend that we don't hear? Or do we open our eyes to the voice of Jesus when that voice calls, "Wake up, people. Wake up. It's time to go. It's time to share your blessings with those on the edge, with those who are left out of the mainstream. Oh, wake up. It's time to give more than breadcrumbs to the outsiders. Oh, wake up. It's time to be church." And that would be us, you and me. Amen.